You are listening to the PT and the Gib Dog podcast, episode one. Today we're talking NBA draft. Let's do this. All right. Well, we're coming at you live. This is PT and the Gib Dog. That's a working title.
Tremendous title.
Episode one. I agree that it's a tremendous title. So
reminds me of the days of Instant Messenger. I mean, I miss Instant Messenger.
It does a little bit. And going on that thread as we introduce our audience to who we are, Mike and I have been talking Boston sports, I think 17 years now, Celtics especially, I think. And Mike, I wanted to run this memory by you. Just thinking back of NBA draft picks and Celtics draft picks, one of my memories is the Joe Johnson for Rodney Rogers and Tony Delk trade. Back in 2002, I think we found out about that in Durkin's driveway.
Which at the time we were like, we're so glad they kept Kedrick Brown instead of Joe Johnson, because the rumor was it was going to be Johnson or Brown. And Phoenix said, just give us one of them. And I think Chris Wallace picked Joe Johnson, at the time we were excited about. But looking back on it, should have given him Kedrick.
So we've seen some highs, we've seen some lows, and That brings us to the present, which, I mean, this has to be, I mean, we've been following the draft for close to 20 years, if not more. This has to be the most buzz I've heard around kind of a top 10 player type of situation. I mean, this has been crazy the last few weeks.
There's no question. I think the trade from I know we'll get to that, but the 3-1 trade from obviously Philly bumping up to one, taking the Celtics slot for that that protected pick that, yeah. Oh my God, the protections, you could go into it. I think that's just because it's just such the talk about this draft being the top 10 guys, the projected top 10 guys here in this draft, they all say are going to be good starters on NBA teams. You know, that's like the floor. And then there's potential for them all to, you know, obviously different ones to be better than this, but there's absolutely no question. I think that's the biggest buzz. The trade helps it out. LaVar Ball helps it out. I think there's so many things that have made the buzz of this draft just be higher than anyone in recent memory, at least.
Yeah, and let's go right there. So we exchanged probably 3,000 text messages on Saturday night. You were enjoying a beverage or two. I think I was enjoying a beverage or two, which may have spurred some of the conversation. But walk me through, as a diehard Celtics fan, walk me through your reaction as the Woj bombs were dropping, as what the Celtics was getting back was changing. Like, walk me through how your Saturday night went.
I was prepared for this on Friday, you know, when the news started to kind of like trickle that it was happening, and the news was coming from credible sources on Friday, so you knew that it was really just a matter of time before it all played out, and it turns out that at the end of the day that the Sixers just wanted to bring Fultz in on Saturday, and like that was the last step in this actually becoming a done deal. It was probably a done deal before that visit even went down on Saturday, but as soon as the visit was done, the deal that they had already discussed and probably had in place was done. My initial reaction when the first report came out that it was for three, it was for the Laker pick, and the Laker pick even had protections on it, but I was okay with that because they also said they were getting the Sacramento 19 pick as well on top of it, and at the time there were no protections on that either, and I'm like, wow, he just fleeced Philadelphia. Sure, there's the whole excitement about the number one pick, but for what they got back, I'm like, this is a no-brainer.
Yeah, the and that then became an or, I know, was pretty disappointing. Thinking that you're getting both that 18 and the 19, and then just becoming the 18 or the 19, that would hurt a little bit.
Well, I was sitting there with my brother and two other people, and he'd get up, he'd go to the jukebox to put more money in at the bar just to play some music and to get his attention. I feel like there was three or four times in the 45 minutes where we'd yell out, Woj bomb, Woj bomb. And he would rush back and listen to it. And everyone was jacked up. Like I said, like you were just talking about the Laker pick and the Sacramento pick. And then when it became one or the other, the mood changed. And I still believe, and I'm probably always going to believe this until that Laker pick or whatever the king pick turns into something that, you know, makes us forget about this. I'll maintain, I don't think he got enough for number one. If you're number one, you're in the driver's seat.
I know. Especially with everything that's happened in the last couple of days that we'll probably talk about later in terms of that, the Laker pick, who the hell knows what's going to happen with that one. So what do you think's going through Danny's head right now? I mean, he came out publicly. He said the guy who we wanted to get at one, we think will still be there at three. He mentioned Fultz, Ball, Tatum, and Jackson kind of being the four guys kind of in his mind. What do you think's going through his head right now?
Well, it was really just two guys, you know, if you think about it, because it wasn't going to be Fultz, obviously, because he trades the pick away, and obviously Philadelphia is going to take Fultz.
True.
Highly doubt it was going to be Lonzo Ball, just because of everything. Not that I think they dislike him as a player or anyone should dislike him as a player. Just you look at – you hate to have like the – and I think at the end of the day, the situation with his father is not going to be a huge deal with whatever team takes him.
Oh, come on. You don't see LeVar posting up in Beacon Hill and, you know, walking down Hanover Street on Saturdays?
I do not. Okay, I do not, unfortunately. I just don't see him getting excited about all that, but – anyway, I just, at the end of the day, sure, Lonzo Ball probably could have fit in with the Celtics, but from the get-go, I just don't think they were going that direction. So at the end of the day, it's Jackson or Tatum.
And I think that for this Celtics team, you know, they're both better fits, given what we have today. The question is, this is a very fluid roster, and who knows with the Bradley contract, are they going to give Isaiah a max deal, what the team turns into? But, so Danny, in his mind, probably wants Tatum or Jackson. Assumes he can probably get him at three. Went through the process that you just described, right? Like, let's see if we can pick up more assets. Seems like the market wasn't as giving as it may have been in years past. I mean, they talk about that Weber-Penny Hardaway trade where, was it the Magic that they picked up three first-round picks?
Three picks. three of those
picks. That was a fleecing.
Yeah, one of those actually ended up, they said, one of those ended up being Vince Carter, I heard the other day. Like, sure. that was one of the three picks. I know Vince didn't end up with whoever they ended up, we ended up with the Raptors, but one of those.
Was it Golden State who had?
It was Golden State. Golden State took Carter, and the Raptors took Jameson, and then they flipped them or something like that. So
that was a good draft.
So, yeah, there you go. That's it.
Who do you want as a Celtics fan? Tatum, Jackson. Or other. We could go other if you want.
I really didn't watch too much, like, spend time. I mean, sure, I'd seen Tatum play a few games, you know, throughout the year. Same with Jackson, but didn't really sit and start watching them until Saturday rolled around, because the whole time it's been Fultz. Fultz is the guy. It's going to be Fultz. Everyone's saying it's Fultz. I think I'm leaning more towards Tatum, to be honest with you. I think he projects to be more of a pure go-to scorer. You know, he's very fluid on the offensive end. Mm-hmm. I mean, the guy's a scorer, mm-hmm. where Jackson's just more of an athlete. And you look at the Celtics roster, don't you think Jackson's just going to be a better Jaylen Brown, or maybe not a better Jaylen Brown?
Who knows?
I just see him and Brown being very similar in what they can bring coming in, you know, after one year of college, both guys. See, there's a lot of redundancy there. You know, people say they can't take Jackson because they've got Crowder and Brown. I'm like, forget Jay Crowder. I love Jay Crowder, what he brings, but he's not even in the discussion. Yeah. It's just redundancy with Brown. You know, that's the big one.
Yeah, and it's the whole will he learn to shoot, which is always an interesting question that people put both ways, right? It's like, we could teach him to shoot for the people who like him, and then it's, this guy can't shoot, should we take him? He can't hit free throws for the people who don't like him, and when you already have Smart and Brown, who are evolving, I think is a polite way of putting it, from the terms of their shooting form. I think Josh Jackson's an explosive player. Who fits in better with the Celtics team in the near and the medium term? It's probably Tatum. Does Tatum have the upside of Jackson? Hard to say. I love the Paul Pierce comps, but you know, I think it's easy to throw those things around for a guy who's played 1 year in college.
No question. Am I upset if Jackson's the pick? No. I think it's going to be interesting looking at all the reports today. Can we just talk for a minute about this whole thing with Jackson not wanting to work out for the Celtics thing?
Who does he think he is?
I mean,
is today, that him or his agent? You're in the college basketball world. You tell me.
Probably more his agent. But even so, what's the agent thinking? Like, I mean, today he's saying he didn't have time to because, you know, there wasn't enough time after the trade took place, you know, and he figured if the Celtics were at one, they weren't going to take me anyway. Well, I'm sorry. If you're Josh Jackson and you're trying to project yourself as this, you know, uber competitor that, you know, will take on any challenge whatsoever, and that's kind of what they say about him, and that's why they say he could be an Ainge guy just because he's, you know, he's feisty, he gets after it, you know, he's fiery, all that good stuff. Wouldn't you want to work out for the team that had the number one pick, you know, and try to think? I don't know. It's just that makes no sense to me. I guess they kind of patch things up. He's not going to work out for them, but I guess they patch things up on the sense that they've been talking a lot today. I mean, Jaylen Brown was the pick last year after working out for them twice. Tatum's worked out for them twice already, I think, now. Once in Boston, once somewhere else. So
yeah, L.A.
Yeah.
So where is Josh Jackson right now? Is he in Lawrence, Kansas? Is he in New York? Like, is it hard to get to Boston? Is it like there's no direct flights? I mean,
they were talking yesterday. He was in New York yesterday when Tatum was in, and they were hoping to get him there today. Yeah,
on
the shuttle.
Bring a basketball, hop on the shuttle, or Danny will come to you on demand.
Come pick you up, yeah, or something. I don't know. That's what makes it strange. Does he not want to go there? Does he not want to go to the Celtics? Seeing Jaylen Brown, knowing Jaylen Brown's there, knowing Jay Crowder's still there, you know, looking at all the guys that are in front of him. I don't know.
Well, here's a heads up for Josh Jackson. If you don't go to Boston, you're going to Phoenix. So yeah. Have fun.
Or he could drop. I mean, I saw something today, and maybe we'll get to this in a second, but I saw one mock draft somewhere where they had Jonathan Isaac going to the Suns at 4. And call me crazy, I heard some people say that he's an option for the Celtics at 3. I mean, we'll get more to that later, but maybe he doesn't, and then he ends up in, oh, well, if you're not going to the Celtics, you're going to Phoenix, and then if you're not going to Phoenix, you're going to Sacramento, so.
Yeah, you don't want to end up there.
Yeah, pick your poison, Josh.
Yeah, so yeah, the Jackson thing's weird, and all the Tatum buzz I've read as well is, you know, work ethic, high character. I heard in the L.A. workout, I think he hit 81 out of 100 threes in the corner, which seems solid. I would take that.
Yes.
So the question for you, of course, is this is someone who, you know, we both went to Boston College. Mike may or may not have been pictured in a friends don't let friends go to Duke t-shirt. That may have happened at some point in our 4 years there. So how do you get past, you know, taking a Duke player and putting some of our Green 18 hopes on someone who spent a year in Krzyzewskiville?
Once the college thing is over, I get over the Duke thing. It's just the Duke thing that gets me, that I just vehemently root against Duke. If you're going to help my team in the NBA, it's totally different.
Okay.
Like if J.J. Redick signed with the Celtics this offseason, which isn't going to happen,
no,
that's a great move for this team. He's exactly what they need, you know, and he's probably my least favorite Duke player of all time. So,
yeah, I can attest to that.
If I'd be okay with that, yeah, you certainly can. So if I'd be okay with that one, I think I could stomach Tatum and Green for sure.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I think it seems like the buzz is Tatum. Danny, you never know. Do you think there's a chance that they trade this pick, either trade down and get more assets, or, I mean, the Butler news today has been crazy with the Cavs rumors.
Do you believe that rumor that, and I don't know, who knows if this is true, that the Bulls offered the Celtics Butler straight up for 3, and I know at the end of the day it probably wouldn't be straight up, but that would have been the only thing of, like, real true value going back. 3 would have been the only thing of true value going back to the Bulls. I
can't believe that. There would have to be, like, the Nets pick or something else in there.
Yeah, you have to think there's another pick in there, because if it's already done, I think, if that was really, I mean, you'd probably throw in Zeller's non-guaranteed contract, you know, just to, I mean, they don't have to match money, because right now the Celtics would be so under the cap. You know, they don't have to match salary, but you'd think someone like a Zeller or a filler to even, you know, even just to fill some more salary, like a Rozier or something like that, would go back just to make it match. But I just don't see how that gets it done.
I can't see that them offering that. I mean, this isn't a Paul George situation. There's 2 years left on a good contract. You know, team is reasonably competitive. I mean, I wouldn't be happy spending $24 million on Dwayne Wade, but, you know, it is what it is. That's a tough one. So, yeah, I don't necessarily believe that. But, I mean, if the Cavs are no longer an option, given everything that's going on today, where else can Chicago really ship Jimmy Butler?
I think he stays. I don't think he goes anywhere. And today they're saying, and you're seeing a lot of things today, that he wants to stay in Chicago. It was almost like he wants to go to a team that's ready to right on the cusp of winning a title. And the only team that could have been was the, you know, the Cavs. And even then, I don't think LeBron, Kyrie, and Butler beats Golden State. It's probably a better series, but I don't see them winning that. There's no other spot, I don't think, one maybe is Minnesota because of Thibodeau. Maybe, and Minnesota does probably is a team that has some young assets to maybe get it done, but you're not going to Minnesota to win a championship, no. At least not right now. No. So that's the only other possible fit, and then team that has the assets to do it, but it doesn't provide you a path, a good path.
Yeah, no, I agree. So I don't see Butler. I don't see Paul George at least tomorrow going to the Celtics.
No, I think Paul George. It's probably the Lakers, or he stays in Indy, which he's not staying in Indy. I just don't see that happening with him if he's insisting on, if what he's saying is true, that he's opting out and wants to go to the Lakers. You got to think at the end of the day, the Lakers try to work something out. And you got to think they're doing that with the trade yesterday that they made with Brooklyn, and they got back another first round pick, that and getting rid of Mozgov's contract. That trade also opens up the door for them to draft Ball. So that trade was trying to accomplish a lot of things on the Laker front. So I think he goes to the Lakers, or he stays in Indy for now. And I mean, now the immediate future, not necessarily the start of the season.
Yeah. No, I agree. Is there any do you see Danny trading down at all? And what would the reaction be in the TD Garden Bowls, and also at the Barclays Center, where you will be tomorrow night, if Danny trades down again? And I'm not sure you're getting 5 and 10 from Sacramento. You're probably getting, I don't know who you're trading with, but you're probably getting like a late first rounder, or maybe I don't even know what you're going to get.
If you can get 5 and 10 from Sacramento, you do it, but they already said Sacramento turned down. Lakers offered them 2 for 5 and 10, and Sacramento said no. And if you're Sacramento, well, going back to what we were saying about how the talk is that there's the top 10 in this draft is very, very strong. And after that, you know, things kind of start to drop off. Everyone always, there's always at least one mistake where someone screws up, where one of those guys will drop into the first round. But if you have 5 and 10, if you're Sacramento and you're in as rough shape as you are, you know, as Sacramento is, do you really give up 2 picks for one unless you're really enamored with somebody at 3? Which, could they be enamored with Jackson? I don't know. You know, you're better off if you're Sacramento at 5 to take someone like a Darren Fox, a point guard, to play him with Hield. Yeah. And then you just take the best available guy left at 10. You're just trying to get players in there. So I don't see why you give up 2 picks in the top 10 in this draft when you're in the position Sacramento is.
Yeah, you need people, and with a draft like this, you can find someone at 10, and it just depends. Is there a guy that they really want? And if they don't think he's going to be there at 5, what do you then have to give up? You don't give up 10, but what do you have to give up to move up a little bit? So, yeah, we'll see. I mean, good for Sacramento being actually something that people are talking about, because I don't know any other reason why people would be talking about that franchise.
And the last time Sacramento got enamored with a player, and that's what their owner was, Vivek there, he was enamored with Buddy Hield. And they said, and this happened after the Boogie Cousins trade, that the story came up that he always used to tell Buddy Hield, we're going to get you eventually, you know, during a game when the Pelicans came into Sacramento or something last year. And they go and make a trade where they get 25 cents on the dollar for DeMarcus Cousins, just from a basketball talent point of view, not with a baggage point of view. Mm-hmm. But they go and make a trade like that where they could have gotten so much more for Cousins, if you think about it, than what they got.
Yeah.
So Sacramento should resist becoming enamored with a player again, I think.
I really thought you were going Jimmer Fredette there. So thank you for not going in that direction.
It was not going Jimmer. No, Jimmer go time. A little more recent then. Oh, my goodness.
Jimmer
time. Hey, teammates last year in Shanghai with – Gershon Yabusele last year.
Do we think he'll contribute to the Celts next year?
And I think he's bound
is that is that what the one folks, more is that year. What the folks call French Draymond? Is that his official
French
nickname?
Draymond? Yep. I think one more year in Shanghai for French Draymond. I think is in his immediate future. So
that's great.
Hope he liked it over there.
That's great. How about the Lakers? They kind of, I mean, Philly made their move. The Lakers kind of control this thing. We talked a little bit about what they're thinking with Paul George. If you're Magic, do you take Lonzo? Seems like he's probably the best fit, especially dishing Russell. It seems like there's a void there right now, opening space there. But he's surprised us before. He could go in another direction. What do you think going through Magic's mind now?
I was thinking there was a chance that the only thing that was going to foil this trade down from Ainge was, could the Lakers go and take the guy the Celtics wanted it? The guy the Celtics truly wanted at two, and that person wouldn't be there for the Celtics at three, and then we'd still be stuck with Danny Ainge telling us that, oh yeah, Lonzo Ball was the guy we always wanted at three.
They're not taking Lonzo.
No, I know, exactly. But that's my point. Like, the Lakers take Tatum or Jackson, whoever the Celtics wanted, and Ainge is stuck with someone he doesn't want, and in hindsight, he shouldn't have made the trade. But no, I think Lonzo's the guy at two. I think the trade yesterday of D'Angelo definitely clinched that without question. I mean, they say he likes Jackson. I've heard that they like Jackson a lot, but I don't know. I think Lonzo's your guy. You need a point guard now. You need someone to distribute to all those guys out there. You know, bringing in Lopez, you know, Ingram. He's got to be the pick.
Yep, I think you're right too. Let's play a quick game of happy or sad. So basically, if I tell you the Celtics end up with this person tomorrow, are you happy or sad? So if they get Tatum,
happy.
Josh Jackson,
happy.
Jonathan Isaac,
sad.
your trust of Danny only goes so far.
I mean, they talk about him being this 6'10" guy with this ridiculous wingspan that can get out and guard on the perimeter and has better lateral movement than any guard in the NBA. And I might be exaggerating there, but that's the biggest thing to talk about, lateral movement. But you talk about having an issue with – we're talking about the issue with Jackson and not being able to provide enough offensively. If you think we're going to have trouble with there, Isaac offensively in his first few years, I mean – Is there such thing as an op that you hear defensive liability thrown around? Is there such thing as an offensive liability? Because that'd be him. I mean, down the line, maybe we'd be taking that back, but sad for now.
I agree with you.
For sure.
He'd get
booed more than Jaylen Brown did last year.
Exactly. Here's a good one. Celts trade down to number 8, pick up what we think will be a mid to late lottery pick next year, and take Malik Monk. Happy or sad?
Mid to late lottery pick?
Yeah. Call it, we probably get like somewhere between 8 and 10 next year.
So Phil Jackson trades us 8 and then his first round pick next year?
Yes.
Is that your,
that's what I was thinking.
Because the Knicks are at 8, right?
I haven't researched, but I don't know if the Knicks have their pick because they tend to.
No, they do. The Knicks do have their pick. Yes, they do. For the first time in, well, no, not the first time, but. For the third time in the last 10 years.
Do you like that move?
No, sad. Because you're trading down again. You know, all these years have been clamoring for number one, and this is just the irrational fandom in me taking over for a brief second. You finally see that Celtic logo come out of the number one envelope for the first time in our lifetime. Now you've traded to 3, and I'm sort of on board, but still think you didn't get enough. And then you're turning number one now into 8, and then maybe another late round. And I mean, not a late round, another late lottery pick next year. I mean,
it would be going from 1 to 8 and picking up 2 lottery picks, and picking if you combine both trades, right? We'd be going from 1 to 8 this year and then 2 picks.
Still sad.
Okay. Last one. We do another trade with the Knicks, but this time it involves Kristaps Porzingis.
What's the rest of it?
We give up a lot.
What's a lot?
We give up number 3, we give up a Nets pick, and then we give up one of the smart, probably not Bradley, but smart Jaylen Brown type caliber player.
Can we make it three and the Laker King protected pick?
You'd be happy with that? Given three picks up then for...
No. Instead of the Brooklyn pick. Can we make it three, the Laker King protected pick, and then insert Crowder or Smart there?
We can make it there. If that makes you happy, does that make you happy?
Yeah, I'd prefer to hold on to the Brooklyn pick because that one can be number one.
But then we can trade it down again, right?
Oh, jeez.
Belichick.
Not if it's Michael Porter, if you're going to believe the comparisons that he's got a game like Kevin Durant. Trading that one down.
Yeah, fair.
Porzingis is the only one you open up the war chest of assets for, just because of what he is and what his contract situation is. He's still in his rookie deal. So I think you make that trade. I'm happy with that. The Brooklyn pick, so in a sense, number three, the Brooklyn pick, and then one of Smart, Crowder, whatever, probably be Crowder, most likely.
I'm not letting you trade Crowder. Smart or Brown.
Oh, it's not Crowder.
No.
Oh. Ooh.
It's making you anxious, anxious.
Probably no, it's not making me anxious. No, what I'm holding up on is the player. I'd probably do it regardless.
Okay.
That one makes me happy. If it's the Laker King pick, I want to hold on to the Brooklyn pick.
Okay. I like it. Wanted to end hearing a little bit more about your plans tomorrow night. So Mike will be attending the NBA draft. First time?
First time ever. We obviously, this was done on the plan. I'm going with Chris, my brother. Yeah. It was obviously done on the plan that we were going to see the Celtics select number one.
Still might. It's possible. Unlikely, but possible.
Unlikely, but possible. So that plan got foiled. But no, looking forward to it. Looking forward to many things. Looking forward to one, of course. Looking forward to it's not going to happen. But if the small possibility the Lakers don't take Lonzo at two, that's something I'd look forward to.
Lonzo falling.
See the reaction of Lonzo falling in the green room and the camera on LeVar Ball. That's one thing
he's
going to.
He's going to be there, right? They're going to be there.
Ball's definitely there.
He's there right now. He's waiting.
They're all there. Right. They're all sitting in the green room right now. You always look forward to the Knicks pick because every New York Knicks first round pick in recent history, and there haven't been many of them, have been booed very loudly by the Knicks fans in attendance. Let's go, Danilo Gallinari. Poor guy's doing his interview and just can't get through the interview. Saying, I love New York. I'm so excited to be here for New York and play for this city. And the boos just keep raining down. And then the booing of the Porzingis pick a couple of years ago. You always look forward to what are the Knicks going to do and what's the reaction of the Knicks fans going to be. Just looking forward to taking up. We're sitting up in the balcony, kind of up. And I think that's where the true fans are. It'll be interesting to see what the environment is. But a lot of things to look forward to, and we'll see if we last into the second round where some guy sits in the stands. He wasn't invited to the green room, but he pays his way in and, you know, shows up in his suit and gets picked 46th by the Milwaukee Bucks and runs to the stage from his seats in the arena.
Those are the best. Hopefully those you are always Chris don't best. Have too many Bud Lights and then do the
let's,
same.
Let's talk about Knicks again when they freaked out when they took this guy in the second round. His name was like Massage Lampy or something like that.
I never
played a game, I think, for the Knicks ever. But the Knicks fans, like, they boo Kristaps Porzingis, but they go nuts over this Lampy guy getting drafted whatever it was in the late 30s in the draft that year. So as you can see, I'm really looking forward to everything involving the Knicks.
The other subplot I'm looking forward to, it's a sad irony that the Barclays Center, home of the Brooklyn Nets, have to host a draft where the Nets won essentially the draft lottery, yet they are picking 22.
They are picking 22 only because they traded Bogdanovich to the Wizards for that first round pick. That's the Wizards' first round pick, I'm pretty sure, from the Bogdanovich trade.
Did the Celtics, because we did a swap this year, right? Did the Celtics pick go to that's the Lakers,
that,
right?
That's a Laker
pick
now.
Yesterday.
So the swap pick is now in the hands of the Lakers.
Well, be friendly to the Nets fans that you see. They've gone through a lot, and when we take their first round pick one more time next year, then they can finally wash their hands of what may be one of the worst trades in recent memory, for sure.
Are there many Nets fans? I don't even know if they're going to really be there, but I suppose they will be. I guess they do exist, but
I mean, I wonder. They're not a vocal bunch these days. Let's put it that way.
No, they are not.
Awesome. Well. Good catching up. I'm excited to hear how the draft goes. Obviously, keep me updated via text. And for all you listeners out there, we'll plan to probably do a draft recap and a look into free agency maybe at some point next week. Might have a guest caller join us as well.
The July 1st moratorium, that's when it begins, right? When they can start talking, right, yeah. Tim?
It sounds like it'd be worth us catching up around that time just to
absolutely
lay down all the scenarios.
The one-year anniversary of Kevin Durant watch. Bring up bad memories.
Who's going to be hosting people in the Hamptons this year?
Are they going to bring Tom Brady to go visit Gordon Hayward and Blake Griffin and all those guys once free agency hits?
As long as they go to Hayward first.
Or is that not heavy enough for Tom to make an appearance? I don't know.
Tom's in China right now, so will Tom be back?
True. I don't know. You got to think he would be.
Tom might be visiting the French Draymond. That might be actually the reason he's in China.
He could. I think French Draymond's here, actually, though. Even though he's not playing Summer League, he's going to be with the team but not play because he's hurt or something like that. I don't know.
Got it. All right. Well, enjoy tomorrow night. Let us know how that goes. And I'm really optimistic. I think we're both excited if they take either Tatum or Jackson. I think we're both leading toward Tatum. But we'll know soon enough in just about 24 hours.
Yes, we shall. I'll be sure to keeping you posted on the goings at Barclays Center.
All right, sir. Well, that was our inaugural episode of PT and the Gib Dog. That's a working title. Any suggestions, welcome. And go Celts.